What's going on, guys? Episode 86, Ultras 11 podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I'm Jose.
And I'm Al.
Lest we forget that Akon once said, I'm trying real hard to find the words to describe this girl without being disrespectful. And then said, damn, you're a sexy bitch.
Damn.
Monday motivation. Shit. Monday motivation. But anyways.
Akon's a motivation for Monday.
Yeah. Well, technically Tuesday when you hear this. So Tuesday motivation. Yeah. Remember that anything you say is redeemable in life.
Yes.
Except for these coaches. It's probably one of the most unforgiving sports. Well, every sport's unforgiving, but football, you see it a lot because a career isn't as long as a lot of other sports. So it's a very unforgiving sport in that regard. One moment you're on top of the world. Next, you're fighting for your job. People forget about the good you've done. You know, like, look at certain coaches of our era, you know. We've had Mourinho, Ancelotti, all these guys, whatever. We're not going to harp on that too much right now. We'll get into that. We've been covering the ongoing rumors about a sin bin trial and a different rule. And apparently we have a new rule that's being passed for next year. We'll get into that as well. And since we are talking about coaches of the past and tactics of the past, we're going to also bring up a player of the past that it's not really a player. Of the past, sorry, he is a player. He's always a player. But it's not a player of the past because he's still only 24. It's just nobody really knows what's going on in his career anymore. And yeah, we're going to get through that. Before we get started, though, of course, please remember to like the podcast, follow us on all our socials, comment, subscribe to us on YouTube. The road to 1,000 is in full effect. We did see a nice little spike in subscribers. And obviously, thank you guys for that. Baby. You know, we're a quarter of the way there, but like not the three quarters, like, first quarter.
That's okay. So
like, whatever. But you're baby stuff.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
I wish it was.
But it wasn't.
So
neither are we.
We are a passion project. So to start things off, Al, I woke up this morning and I saw that it was on Twitter. It's something called the purple card, which sounds really weird to me, but whatever. It's basically a card that's going to be installed into FIFA or next season. No.
Joe, that's not a real thing. That can't be a real thing.
Why?
Joe, there's no. They're not adding new cards. When did you read this?
This morning, it was on. I think the account was like football something. Hold on, whatever.
Pause.
It was
before you say anything else. You do know what today is?
Monday, recording day.
No. Like the date.
No. Hold on.
Okay. Well, I'll let you know. It's April 1st. So I don't know. There's a long-standing tradition. That is called, I think it's called April Fools. And to my knowledge right now, I think you just have been fooled. And you made a whole topic up about this new purple card. And there is not a purple card because you just got April Fooled, Joe. So I don't think we're going to be getting into anything about a purple card this week, at least.
You know what? You can't.
They got to make sure the blue card works first before they start adding the whole rainbow in.
It, you know what's crazy? It kind of makes sense because like when I was conjuring, listen. Okay. When I was conjuring this whole script for us today, like getting involved, I'm like, you know what? Fuck, perfect. Some fresh news. I'm so ready to talk about how dumb this idea is, over excessive celebrating. Then you never have Troy Deeney's crazy celebration when Watford got promoted. Like all these things running through my head. I was so ready to talk about it. So ready. And then I tried going on Google. I couldn't find anything about it. I'm like, okay, I saw it on Twitter. So maybe like more information is available on Twitter. Maybe BBC didn't get to this yet, or Fabrizio Romano or any of these guys. Maybe they just didn't get to it just right yet. There.
That's your biggest tell right there. Fab didn't say anything. you gotta do better. You said this guy sat at home this morning saying, okay, you know what? Let me start getting through some topics, you know, today for the podcast. You know, it's recording day. And you thought, you're like, yeah, hey, you know what? This purple card thing, this seems like a legit thing. Let's look into this one here.
Yeah, well, I looked into it. There was nothing. But I just thought maybe a lot of people didn't want to talk about it because it was that stupid.
Oh, my God.
So, okay, you know what? Remember how I said earlier in our summary of what we're talking about, the whole sin bin and cards, new rules, whatever? Yeah, just.
So that's not going to be a topic
today. We're not going to be talking about that.
Because there is no new rule. Yeah. No new cards yet, because obviously it could be anything, you know, there's just a surprise for everything. We didn't think a blue card was going to add, and now we have a blue card.
I'm 28. Why are we getting April Fools? People still do that?
Joel,
I don't even think my nephews did that.
You know what? You know what was worse for me? I got April Fooled, I think, harder than you. I woke up this morning and I saw Allegri got sacked. And I thought it was real. And I got excited. And then I said, then I looked in the top corner, I saw April 1. And I was like, son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. Well, still has his job.
Allegri didn't get sacked. And that actually will bring me. We're going to change the subject here because well, I mean, I clearly was. I was April Fooled. Folded.
You got fooled.
Fooled. Yeah. Fooled. Okay. What? Sometimes when you say words, they don't sound like real words.
You know what you start questioning yourself.
Yeah, you start questioning. Like, wait, fooled. Wait. Is that a word?
Fooled.
Yeah. Fooled. Yeah. That's what I was.
I've been fooled.
I was fooled. But yeah. Okay. So going over to our next topic.
I know it's hard to believe. You're almost 29. You got fooled.
Whatever, man.
By football Twitter, man. It happens to the best of us.
Fucks a lot of you. I don't need any of you guys anymore. Regardless, this year we've seen the emergence of young coaches. We've mentioned this previously, but this will obviously segue to something. We've seen Thiago Motta, Xabi Alonso. In previous years, we had Xavi, Nagelsmann, De Zerbi, Eddie Howe, Will Stilt over at, what was it, Lille or Stade Rennais, whatever. You've seen the fall off of the coaches we once loved and once had at the top. Obviously, there's still that old guard, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But you see a lot of these guys falling off slowly, slowly. There was a quote from Spider-Man that I love whenever I talk about stuff like this. It's called, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And I know, oh, how the hell does that tie into anything?
That is factual.
Let's fast forward present day. You're seeing Alex's beloved Juve. Allegri is kind of the demise. Obviously, like, there's certain things we will talk about. We'll touch upon it all. But a lot of people are blaming Allegri. And it goes, like, it shows you, like, sometimes your second stint, your first stint was successful. It doesn't mean you could replicate what you did in the past. You know what I mean? Like, and you look at Roma with Mourinho. I'll relate to myself, so I'm not just throwing you under the bus here. I won't discount he won a trophy for us that we desired very, very much so. But his tactics gone stale,
big time.
Old, outdated football, stuff like that. Ancelotti with Everton, they thought he was washed. Obviously, like, he went to Real Madrid and, you know, it's more built for him, I guess. But it's still the principle that, like, these older coaches, you're starting to see them fall by the wayside with outdated tactics or whatever it is. We do put a lot of onus on the coaches and blame the coaches for this. But devil's advocate, do you think the modern player is to blame as well? Or does this solely fall on coaches unwilling to adapt to certain times or tactics or whatever it is?
I personally do think it's a mixture of both. Yes, you know, you look at these coaches and their tactics and the way they play, and it's very outdated. You see this new style of football that people are playing, and it's not just like, oh, yeah, you know, beautiful football that, you know, everyone wants and everyone cries for. But then, you know, you get it and it doesn't always, you know, guarantee results. So it's nothing like that. Their tactics are just they don't work anymore. You see with Mourinho, you see it. I watch it every week with Allegri, and it's very noticeable. But in saying that, the players do play a big role in that as well, because a coach can only do as much as, you know, the players give him. If the players, you know, don't have that confidence in the coach, he's not going to do much with the team. And I don't think these older, you know, kind of coaches like a Mourinho, like your Allegri's, you know, Ancelotti, I feel, is a little bit different, especially when being on Real, that's a whole different kind of team. And, you know, I think he's built a name for himself in the whole industry, probably the most out of all these older coaches, that's why he gets the respect that he does and people will actually listen to him. But I just feel like these young players now, like, they look at these guys and they're like, they have a different attitude. It's not like before that, you know, you had these guys and they would do anything these coaches said, no matter what it was, no matter how little these coaches actually knew. But they just had this system, this idea in their head. And you know what? The players, they were sold by it instantly, and they would do whatever it took for that coach to get results. Now these guys, it's like you need a guy like Xabi Alonso to come in. Even Pirlo, his time was very short. You didn't really get to see fully what he can do, but you saw he came in there. Everyone, that was his first team. The guy just got his license. And I'm sorry, that year, with everything the way it was going on, was crumbling, and he still walked away with two trophies. He got sacked after because, and that was just a bad move at the team because, again, they want results and they start thinking, going, let's go with these old guys because they did it once before and it doesn't happen. And, you know, you bring in a guy like Pirlo and you saw all these players, even from your Chiesa, who was just joining the team, to Ronaldo, who is an experienced guy. They respect him. They listen to him. They did whatever he said. And I feel like nowadays, these younger players, that's the type of coach they need. Obviously, you still need to be a good coach. And okay, Xabi Alonso, let's say, for example, go look at all the coaches that he's been coached by in the past.
Yeah.
Some of the best coaches that we got to experience growing up. He was his role model, but like his mentor kind of thing. Like he was learning from them and then kind of put a twist to it and adding his game. And then all these players that are playing under him, they respect the hell out of him because, dude, Xabi Alonso, how can you not, like, guys won everything. How can you not respect him in the game? So I feel like that's what it takes now. And going forward, you're going to see that big shift. And these older coaches, you're not really going to see them being a thing in the top leagues. And it's going to be a lot of these younger coaches starting to step in and take that spotlight from these old heads.
I think a little sound. These old heads.
From these dinosaurs.
You know, I honestly, for me, I think the biggest problem, obviously, it's the coach's unwillingness to adapt to certain situations, certain players, and whatever. I would agree with that regard. But I feel like with certain coaches, maybe not so much like a guy like Mourinho, because Mourinho is very much so, like, again, park the bus type of thing and whatever. So I understand why his tactic is almost outdated in certain regards. But I feel like the onus falls more on the modern day player. You know, like, and it goes back to what Mourinho said about Frank Lampard. Mm-hmm. When he had Frank Lampard at 18 years old, he even said it. He was mature, almost as if like he was a veteran player, you know? And you look nowadays, and I could honestly tell you, Al, like, there's not one player I look at that is younger, like an up-and-coming talent, or like whatever, even from 25 and younger, that I look at and say, yeah, that guy's a natural-born leader. That guy's this, or has that maturity. You know what I mean? Like, there's not many guys. Like, and I look at a team like Juve. You know, they do have veteran presence. Yes, it is also a very inexperienced squad, so I agree. But your veteran presence isn't really like a leadership, leaders.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh. So, like, and I feel like that's where a little bit of a problem also stems from. And I feel like these players, you know, like a younger kid, like Miretti, who does he have to look up to? Chiesa? Obviously, Chiesa's fantastic. But he's then going to go up to, that, let's just say, Rabiot, who's 28, almost 30.
He's not really a good leader, though.
Yeah, you know, Danilo, fantastic leader, and he will do anything for his coach. Mm. But you need more of those guys that'll look and say, no, I'm going to go to battle. I'm going to battle for the jersey and for my coach.
Yeah, you can't just have
one guy. And I feel like that's where the problem lies. Whereas these players are nowadays more babied. Mm. You know, it's just a vicious cycle of this, and it's just going to keep on getting worse and worse. And I feel like you're just going to only see these kind of coaches now, you know, like a young coach, you know? Why do you think, though, going back to the coaching side of things, why do you think these top coaches refuse to change their tactics? Like Mourinho, who's experienced enough, great coach, he refuses to adapt to a modern day or a Allegri.
Joe, the way I look at it is like look at any job, you know? Now you've been managing restaurants for a long time now. Okay. Like, you know what you're doing. You know what works. You know what doesn't work. It's like somebody coming into you and telling you how to do your job you do this and it'll be better. Do this, it'll be better. You're going to be like, fuck you, respectfully. Like, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to do my work because that's my job. I've been doing it. So fuck off. I'm going to do my own shit. And I feel like, especially guys like these big names that we talk about, like Mourinho, Allegri, guys that have won a lot of trophies, guys that know what it takes to get there and actually win. It's hard for them to, you know, accept and I feel like to change and accept reality that, hey, my stuff doesn't work anymore. You know what? Hey, I gotta, you know, maybe take a step back, you know, maybe do some research, you know, do some studying. And that's the only little part of me when Allegri, when he came back, he was off for 2 years. I'm like, hey, he had enough time that, you know, when he does come back, like, he can kind of change his game and be like this, a new coach for us. Mm-hmm. And that was not the thing. And I just feel like they're so fixated on that. And don't get me wrong, I genuinely believe Allegri's tactics, even Mourinho's, I don't know, just because there's been so many different teams that he keeps trying and trying and trying. And other than Roma's Conference League, when was the last time he really did anything? The Europa League with United, but like not much like from the teams that he's gone to, like nothing with Spurs. Yeah. So with Allegri, I think his tactics could somewhat work. Like, let's say if Allegri right now put him on Inter, that Inter have a more suited team to play the kind of game that Allegri wants to play, then I feel it could work. His tactics could work. But the thing with him is he needs the right players. Yes, it's outdated. He needs to adapt with the situation now with what you have, which he's incapable of doing. And that's where these coaches, I feel like, just get so stuck that, no, this is what it is. They did it before. They'll do it again. Like, it'll work. You need the confidence. It doesn't come down to that. You need to play players to their strengths. And some of these guys don't understand that, and they ruin players. And that's why I hope doesn't happen to Chiesa, because, you know, he needs to be playing on the wing. No. That's it. He needs to be playing on the wing.
So why do you think the modern coach is held in a higher limelight than the coaches of the past? Tactics aside, obviously. Is there, like, do you think there's a specific reason?
Like, nowadays?
Yeah, like, why is a guy like Xabi Alonso
being
put on a higher pedestal than a guy like Mourinho?
Right, and in this moment.
In this moment, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, look what he's achieving with what he did. That's literally like, imagine if Mourinho was getting that, like the result that Leverkusen got this year with Roma when he was there. And he ended up winning the league with them and going on this crazy run. He didn't. He did not do that. He was not competitive in the league, barely made top six, and he won a conference league out of it. Nothing to take away from it, but hey, at the end of the day, it was a trophy that they added in that year. And I couldn't name you one team that was in that competition other than Roma. Like that, but I said the same thing to West Ham to Zach with West Ham.
No, I agree.
That's what that term is. At the end of the day, Mourinho, hey, you won all the European trophies, but I mean, the last one probably was the easiest by a long shot compared to the other ones.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just think that the new coaches now, it's just people look at them again. You know, we look at them now, Joe. These are the guys that we grew up watching. We grew up watching. Like, I remember watching games, Juve playing Bayern when he was there, or playing Real when he was there with Xabi Alonso, and like playing, and I would hate him because of how good he was and how he was just so calm with the ball. And like, I mean, I wish I was Italian. Like, that's what pissed me off probably the most about him. Like, that's how good he was.
So close to being
and then now Texas. He's a coach, and like, you see, he's actually playing well. Like, he's not like everyone likes to, oh no, dude. Oh, if he's a good player, he's a shit coach. That was the thing of the past.
Yeah,
now these players here, man, especially the midfielders, because midfielders at the end of the day are the smartest players in the game. They understand the game, the way it works the most out of any player on the field. You'll get it, you know, the odd striker that becomes a coach or a defender or goalie, whatever. But the midfielders, man, those are the best coaches you see. And right now, who are the two hottest names right now, coaching right now?
Thiago Motta and Xabi Alonso.
Yeah, exactly. Other than Pep, which, I mean, he's kind of shaken right now.
Yeah.
But right now, like, the two hottest names are those two guys, two midfielders that, again, we grew up watching, just like a lot of people that are watching soccer right now. And I feel like that's why these, like, people are attaching so much to them, because, like, man, like, you know what? They were good players and they're like playing very well.
Yeah.
People are always going to jump to that and support that.
I think it goes back to even like almost like the first point we had about like, blaming players and stuff like that. Like, are they to blame as well? I think it comes all the way back to that, in a sense where like these now player managers like Xabi Alonso, De Rossi, Thiago Motta, whatever, they were good players, some of the best to play their role, whatever. Mm-hmm. So they are able to, they're very good at man management.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're very good at like those personal relationships with players. You know, like, mm-hmm. You see Xabi Alonso, Jeremy Frimpong's arguing with somebody, he'll go on the field, he'll grab him, he'll pull him away. You know, there's stuff like that. And it's like
they were also leaders on their teams when they were playing.
Yes, exactly. So I think the modern era of coaches, what sets them apart from these past coaches, from the coaches of the past, sorry. And I'm not also like, when I say coaches of the past, I'm not saying Allegri's washed up, Mourinho's washed up, Ancelotti, any of these guys. By any means am I saying that. I'm just saying this new era of coaches is very much like a personal coach almost. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they all have relationships with these coaches. De Rossi, a player that he coached on Spal, he was only there for 17 games. And he literally has been the most vocal about what a good guy Derossi is. He still texts me before games. He still talks to me this and that. See, you know, like
connection you have,
and that's like with Xabi Alonso, his players praise him on an emotional level and on a personal level, rather than just, oh, his tactics are great. You know, we play well together.
Yeah.
This works. Deep pressure. Like, but no. There's none of that anymore. Mm. You know, like it's all like, oh, he makes me feel nice. You know, like this is the new era of footballer where it's almost you have to please them like they're your own child or they're your friend.
Mm.
You know, gone are the days of, and we talked about this before, gone are the days of a Gattuso.
Yeah.
Then, you know, he was one of the worst players. But you went out there, you told him, hey, die for the fucking badge. And he's like, yeah, I got you.
Yeah, and you would do whatever the coach said because the coach gave him the opportunity. Yeah.
That's it. These guys would never question the coach. Now, there was that video that came out too with Joshua Kimmich, how he was questioning the coach.
Yeah.
Oh, I think when they were at five at the back, they did this differently or something. It was a German transcript, so I don't know how accurate it was. But he was actually talking back to the coach. You know, back then, you wouldn't have gotten that.
No.
You got in a water bottle or something whipped at you. Yeah. So this is that new era of coach where it's very much so like man management, personal relationships. But the
thing, Joe, imagine like, hey, you're like you're doing something, whatever, and you know you keep messing up, you keep making the same mistake. You're like, shit, like you can't figure it out. And then you have a guy like Mourinho that's coming there, and he's telling you, okay, you got to do it like this, you know, because this, whatever. And that's just a guy telling you because you know that's just you know the way the tactics are, and that's probably how the way he's gonna go, like the game's gonna go. So you know, do it like this. Compared to a guy like Xabi coming to you and saying, you know, you do this because, and a guy that's been in those situations, played in the biggest games that there is to play, giving you that advice, you're going to take that a lot more than a guy like Mourinho, like Allegri, that have never really been there and can't give you that advice because what do they know?
Yeah.
And all they know is like tactics.
Yeah. That's all. It's like, it goes to show, like, even when you see those clips of your team training and, you know, like, again, I'll relate it to Roma. Really love Roma lately, so whatever. Like you see a video on Derossi, they're playing monkey in the middle, and Derossi's the guy in the middle, you know, chasing down the ball and stuff like that. You see that, it's like, yeah, dude, this is even a coach. This is their best friend.
Yeah.
You see Xabi Alonso pinging a 40-yard pass and then like going over to one of his players and chirping like that. See that? Like you see that, it's like, yeah, this is dudes being guys on a field. Like they all like that.
They're just vibing.
So we're speaking of tactics of the past, things of the past and stuff like that. So I'm going to say a name that might let like some Italians might shiver a little bit because the thought of him might be like whatever. Once upon a time, Italy had a striker named Mario Balotelli. All the talent in the world, and I'm not like I'm not even trying to gas him up in any way, shape or form. Like Balo was him, you know, he was supposed to
be something special.
Yeah. Like, modern day footballer, that's what it was. You know, right there, he was what, 6'3", tall, fast, powerful, strong, cannon of a foot, great feet, whatever. He had a little bit of off the field antics, to say the least. It also didn't help that Italy is a very racist place sometimes and will literally disgrace their own.
Yep.
Even if he did well for the national team, you know, like
you can win every cup that there is to win, and there'll still be someone racist out there making always, some sort of noise towards them.
Yeah. Fast forward, present day, Italy had an emerging talent named Moise Keane, and he is a black Italian that played striker and had a lot of similarities quality wise, not physically, quality wise as Balo. Obviously, people did compare him for the obvious reasons. Another black Italian striker. Obviously, we won't deny that there was that at one point for some people. But everybody kept on saying they just hope that his head stayed above water. He doesn't have the attitude that Balo had. He didn't have the antics, stuff like that. Fast forward even more, like present day, he's a striker that hasn't scored for almost a year now. He's been sent out multiple times. He's been sent out to PSG, Everton, where he was infamously known as the guy that came on for 13 minutes as a sub, and then he was subbed right back out. He never really truly solidified his role as a number nine. And he's only 24, but people are already kind of writing him off and saying, he's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So my question, Al, is it too soon to actually be writing off Moise Keane?
100%. Yes, it is.
Why?
And let me explain to you. So, as we know, and as we had this conversation actually earlier, what is the one problem that Italian strikers have, Joe?
they're one season wonders. No, they get better when they're old.
Yes, they peak when it's too late, and they can have one or two, two's a maybe, good tournaments. Okay, like a Euro, World Cup, whatever. So he's 24, like you said. It's way too early to count him out. He needs one good season at a team where he's consistently playing and able to consistently play to kind of get his head in there. And the style also needs to be suiting him, because you watch the guy play from when he was 18, from when I first started playing with Juve, to now. There's one thing that did not change about him. He has probably one of the worst first touches I've ever seen in a player. And this style that they're playing right now, you know, they want a lot from the striker to, you know, grab the ball back against the net, turn, pat, lay it off. And he's horrible at that. But finishing wise, like, okay, other than those two goals that got called back for a poor guy this year, lovely finishes. But he, again, didn't have too much dribbling, took a touch, shot it, goal. That's it. Didn't dribble too much. And that's his biggest problem. And you put him in a system where he's getting fed the ball by proper wingers, proper guys, and he can actually play his game. I think that'll help with his confidence, and you'll see him up there between 15 to 20 goals, I think, in a season. But he has to go, and not just like a Monza or whatever. He needs to go to, I would say, from Milan, Roma. I know you don't like it, but Lazio.
No, definitely not.
Napoli, I think, will ruin him. That's probably like, I would say Bologna, but like, we don't know what the hell's going to happen to them after this season, especially if Mota and majority of those guys end up selling. We don't know what's happening. So I wouldn't say them, even if they make Champions League. But he needs that, a proper season where he's fully playing and the team has the confidence in him and the fans have the confidence and he's the number one guy. I think he can get there, man. He's still young. His prime, you know, it's still a couple years away. I think there's more than enough time for him. It's just, we got, you know, because, man, everyone likes this, you know, young kid, and he's playing well, and he just continues it through all. But unfortunately, not everyone's like that, and especially with Italians, we've seen it in the past. Hopefully, he doesn't go too much now, like, with this whole rap thing and, like, start going towards that, because the guy does have skill. Like, I don't want to see him just throw it away like Balotelli did, too. Because, like, that really sucked, because we all got to see a little bit more of Balotelli, especially in that Euro Cup, and I think everybody fell in love with that guy, man. Oh, like, he was...
Maybe not everybody.
A majority of, especially of Italians, man, after that
Italian Euro Cup, Canadians, yeah, I would say yes.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
He, man, I fell in love with him, and then it just got ripped away, because then he just threw it all away because he did not give a fuck, man. He took it for advantage, and he just threw it all away, man. Yeah. Balotelli actually pisses me off. I hate talking about
him. Well, we're not going to talk about Balotelli.
We're going to back to Keane.
We're going
to
talk about Moise Keane.
What do you think about Keane? You think he can come back? You think he's done?
You know what? I've been saying it for the last couple of years.
I know you love
like him. I really don't see a flaw with him. Like, okay, the first touch thing, I'm glad you said that, because I do agree. Like, consistently watching him, it's just sometimes it's under the radar, that bad touch, simply because of his, like, the pace and power he has.
Yeah.
You know, like, he really makes up for it. Mm. I just feel like with him, it's almost as if he doesn't even know what his role is. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he doesn't know if he's a number nine, if he's a winger, if you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like he's in a loop.
Mm.
And I feel like the best way for him to kind of salvage something, because again, he's only 24 years old.
Yeah.
Let's remember over here that Gianluca Scamacca is being praised and touted as the next best thing and whatever it is. And he is the same age as Moise Keane. And Moise Keane technically has way more senior experience than Scamacca playing for a team, respectfully to what Scamacca has done so far in the teams he's played for, but a better team, a more reputable team. He's been on Juve and PSG, you know, and PSG had a good year. Obviously, I know what people are going to say. It's a farmer's league. It's this, it's that, whatever, but he still somehow was starting games.
Champions League.
Yeah.
He reached double digits in goals. He was doing well in Champions League.
He's clearly like a good player, and he has the ability. I think he just needs the confidence of the coach. Mm-hmm. And this goes back to, like, even with Allegri, with those stale dead-end tactics, I think it's kind of getting the worst out of Moise Keane. 100%. You know? Like, he's a guy that it's like kind of almost like a high-flying attacker. Mm-hmm. You got to utilize that and whatever. And instead, it's like he's isolated alone up top.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of screws him over and stuff like that. So I think a change of scenery for Moise Keane would be the greatest thing he could possibly do. But it's like you said, where's his head at? Yeah. Right. You know, like, where's his head at with this whole rapping career and stuff like that? It's one of those things that you hope he doesn't go down that route, because I would love Moise Kean on Roma and on Italy, you know?
I would love to see him start playing for Italy, man.
We mentioned his name earlier, and he's an ongoing name. This is a little secret. I don't want to tell Al what we're going to do here, but Chiesa, Federico Chiesa, is another player that people are beginning to doubt. And I know here at Ultras, we don't doubt him. I know in my household, he's never doubted. I know even in Al's household, like, he's never doubted. But a lot of people are doubting him because his numbers don't really justify what we think of him and the pedestal we put him at.
Yeah.
So, Al, what do you think the problem is right now with Chiesa?
I mean,
and could he also become a Juve flop that he is sold for money?
No.
I mean, everyone gets sold for money, but you know what I mean? Like,
is he deemed expendable? I genuinely don't. I think he will stay at Juve. There, I mean, like, I can't see him moving to the Prem. I'm not saying just yet at all. I could see him being one of those guys that stays in Italy like a lifer, whether it's Juve or another team. Mm-hmm. I could see him staying for life.
Yeah.
I just think his problem this season, man, and, you know, people forget he came back last year from his ACL injury. So this is his first full season back that he's able to play, which we saw at times. Again, he was going through those little episodes where, I pulled something, I got to stay out. Then he goes to check and nothing's wrong with him. So it's still, it's still a mental thing with him, because it's still happening this year where there's like, my fucking leg, I got to sit out. They will sit him, but they'll come back and be like, no, he's fine. Like, he's just going to take some rest. And then he's going to get back to training with the team in a couple of days. So it's never really anything serious. So I feel like it's a mix of that. And, you know, Allegri had a good idea. I was, you know, at the beginning, I was back and I would love to see Chiesa, you know, play up top beside Vlahovic, play as a second striker. That would be amazing. You know, he kind of be like, you know, like a Del Piero, you know, like, I feel like he can do it. But, you know, throughout the season, it started off the first couple games, it looked promising. It looked like it could work. But the more you see it, the more you just see Chiesa's being wasted and you're not getting the full potential of this guy. You've seen what he can do, man. And I'm not just talking about, you know, he had a good game or, you know, a good tournament, because people that have good tournaments don't play and don't score the goals that Chiesa did in that tournament. Yeah. In that Euro Cup. No,
that's true.
Those are goals. And I'm not going to say, because I really don't, because Italians are kind of different. Donnarumma, I think, is a generational player.
Oh, 10.
Chiesa, I wouldn't call a generational player, but you can tell he's like in 10, 15 years down the line when we're talking about Italy, like, Chiesa is going to be one of those guys that not just remembered for that one Euro Cup, but I think remembered for a lot of Italy's success in games that they play. I genuinely feel that with Chiesa. He just really needs, and that's why even though Montero is doing even worse, get rid of Allegri, bring him up till the end of the season.
Who's
and
Montero?
He's
just
the,
so everybody knows. I know.
He's a former Juve player. Now he's the coach of the, I think it's the under, it's not the next year, I think it's the under 21 team.
Okay.
He's not doing very well with them, but he's, I mean, hey, anything's better than Allegri. You just get something new until the last, whatever, seven games and just finish the season like that. But we need a proper coach. And I think Thiago Motta can get the best out of Chiesa. But a guy like that, to play him in the proper position where he's playing on the wing, cutting in, and is just so dangerous on that side. And I feel like that's where you're going to see the real Chiesa. And you're going to see this Chiesa that everyone's praising and everything. Because I agree 100%, man. A guy that we're all saying, oh, it's Chiesa, 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 and give him all this high praise. You look at his numbers this season, it's nothing impressive. Like, nothing's impressive about it. Yeah. Vlahovic, okay, he's doing, you know, he's making that jump from last season. He's missed a couple games too, and he's still having a lot better season.
He's a loser.
Chiesa, though, he's just, you can't really justify the injury anymore because, you know, that was last year. Now this is his first full season, but he's got to be, like, those numbers got to be up, man. His assists, his goals, you got to be pushing those numbers. You can't be having a guy like, you know, this big number for Italy and, you know, one of Italy's star players. And, you know, you're putting up these kind of numbers during the season.
Yeah, I agree.
That can't happen. As much as I love him and Chiesa, I love you. I want you to come to my wedding, but once Allegri leaves, you got to step up, buddy. You got to step up.
I think that was a battle cry. From
that was, yeah, it was a little personal. Hopefully, you know, I know Chiesa listens to the show. We talked in the DMs, you know, huge fan of the Ultras. So I know he's on the list, and he said he's going to try to come to my wedding, you know, he's going to try to make it out there. So then I can talk to him, you know, a little bit one-on-one. But
I respect that. Respect
I hope he hears me loud and clear.
My thing is, like, I it's literally like some players you look at and I just feel like they're kind of built for certain roles, right? Like when you see how explosive Chiesa is, like with that quick step that he has, like that little first like heavy touch and then he's just gone. Just you know what I mean? Like he just cuts you inside out. It's almost what I used to say about Zaniolo. When you moved him to the middle, then like they are better with a one-on-one. When you're in the middle, then it's not a one-on-one anymore. Yeah. It's more of a numbers game. That's middle is usually more congested. It's more whatever. And obviously Chiesa tries his best. He makes the most of it. He tries to dance and whatever it is. But where you're getting the best out of Chiesa is he burns the left back or right back. He cooks that one-on-one and then he's dragging a guy out of position. And that's what made him so like lethal, especially in the Euros with Juve to start and stuff like that, because he would literally force defenders and opposition to drag players out of position. When you have a center mid coming out of position, dropping all the way down to left back because he's already cooked your left back way back before center, you're going to cause some open gaps and stuff like that, right? 100%. So I like with Chiesa, it's just a matter of like the system. You see when he's played out wide, how much better he does. And I'm not like...
But a lot of... like you said, there's players that are built like that. Look at one of the best players to play the game, Ronaldo. Coaches always wanted to push him to the middle. You know, play him up. But every time you would see in the middle of the game, whoever the striker was, you would end up seeing the striker. The striker would be out onto the wing. Ronaldo's up top. And then you see them swap. And that guy's in the middle and Ronaldo's on the wing. Because he knows if he's playing on that left side, that's where he's getting the best. No matter if he's getting older and slowing down, that's where he's playing the best. And that's why he always wanted to play that side.
And that's what I mean.
A guy like Ronaldo having the name, you can go to any team like, I'm playing there. If you have to change, you're changing. That's what it is. And that's kind of what happened. That's kind of what happened with Juve. This is the same kind of thing. But he's the type of guy that you put him on that left side, that's where you're going to get the best of him. And I feel like Chiesa is the exact same thing. You see it so much this year. You know, he's had those moments. But every time when you actually watch the game and you're paying attention, he's never in the middle, especially as of recently. Like, he's always off to that side, and you'll see him always try cutting in.
And that's the thing. Like, I still think, like, with an Italian player's career, it's very different than an average football player's career. I feel like they peak at 28. Like, everyone's prime is, 23 to 27. No. Italian players' primes are 30-plus for some bizarre reason. Like, they kind of remain consistent for those other 10 years. With a guy like Chiesa, who's to say that when he is that age, when he's 28, 29, 30, he doesn't completely inherit that Del Piero role, that he's as a second striker, you know? He matured, he developed, whatever. He maybe slowed down, so his quick first touch and whatever he, like,
he has to change his game.
He adapts to his game and, like, whatever, you know? Like, you even saw it with Totti. Totti played as a left wing for a little bit, and he did well. Then he slowed down. Oh, you can't even run properly, so you're not playing left wing anymore. We're dropping you back into the middle. It's a matter of adapting, and I think when you're that young and that whatever, like, the best thing you could possibly do is really master your craft and then start doing whatever, you know. And that's where I think Allegri got it wrong, because he assumed and thought Chiesa had mastered his craft as a winger when he really didn't. There were still a lot of decisions, like, he had to mature with his decision making and this and that, that extra touch, and I think Allegri kind of jumped the gun because he saw what could be in the future and wanted to kind of rush
it. Wanted to do it now.
And now that's fucked him, because now it's like, well, we can't buy another number nine or another guy that, a number 10 technically. So we're going to make do with Chiesa. Oh, he's out of form. What are you going to do? Right. Next topic. Sorry, I'm out of breath.
It's okay. You got a little bit more into it than me.
I love Chiesa.
I know how much you love Chiesa.
The problem is, like, I want to see Italian soccer players do better than even my own club. If you looked at me and said, Jose, Roma got relegated, but Italy won the Euro or the World Cup, I'd be okay, no problem. Done deal. Sign it right now. Where do I sign? Do you want my blood?
Would you rather have Moise Keane or Azmoun?
I do love Sardar Azmoun because he's a vibe. But Moise Keane. Because if it means I'm developing an Italian player, 10 out of 10, let's go, baby. Talk,
Berta.
You know, that's why I say Baldanzi over Dybala.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I'm not kidding. Like, I know it's a joke, but I'm not kidding at the same time. I would look at you and say, I'm okay with riding the wave of Baldanzi.
Remember, it's April 1st. I do not agree with that.
No. I'm being serious, though. No April Fool's. Yeah. 86, that April Fool's shit.
Yeah.
Baldanzi over Dybala, because one could help Italy in the future. Yeah.
Yeah, anyways. Just as a purple card, that statement's true.
Anyways, we're bringing it back. Keep, sell, or thin ice.
Oof.
And you know what?
We're
going to do it about Juve.
Oh, no, never mind. Not my favorite segment. I don't want to do it.
We did it about a struggling Chelsea.
I don't want to do it.
We did it about a struggling United.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to do it about a...
That's why now you don't hide things from me before
competing for first place Juve in January to now battling for top four.
We've got 7 points in 2 months.
It's crazy.
It's sad.
It's crazy. It's great. I actually had
you guys are where we were at 2 months ago.
It's funny because one of the guys I work with, ironically enough, he's a Roma fan. I know. We're that rare.
Oh, my God.
And we were literally saying at one point it was roughly like January, even maybe in December. We were saying, oh, yeah, you know, like Roma, their best bet for Champions League is Italy gets the fifth spot or maybe Bologna falls off a little bit. We get top four. Then we looked at the top three, like, yeah, it's going to finish this way. Juve and Inter first, Juve second, Milan in third. Juve might finish in fourth.
Maybe fifth. Maybe. We might not make Champions
League. We play Juve again.
Yeah. We still got to play you guys.
And
Bologna. We still got to play Bologna, and we still got to play Milan.
So let's just rip the Band-Aid off.
Fuck.
Al, keep, sell, or thin ice, Juventus edition. Do I even want to say the coach?
If you want to.
No, we're not going to say the coach because we already know.
You want to start off that way?
He's gone. I like it. He's gone. We already know that. Al wants a B team coach.
Fucking gone now. But Pedin is the coach for now. Or Pinzolio.
Pinzolio would make coach. Yeah. But speaking of Pedin, Chesney.
Okay. I keep him. Simply because next year we bring in Donnarumma. Chesney recently, out of nowhere, came out saying that he's okay with taking a backup role if he has to next season. You know what that means. Donna Juve is coming to Juve.
So Chesney I would sell Chesney.
I would keep Chesney.
I would sell Chesney so you can make money off him and because he's had a couple blunders and he's getting older and I'd still get Donnarumma.
Other than Sassuolo this year? No.
Well, sell Chesney.
No. But you see, but now you're doing okay. Okay. Go next.
Alexandro.
No, hold on. First, I'm going to answer Pedin.
I'm not asking Pedin.
But my whole plan, because we're going to keep Chesney as the backup, sign Donna Juve, and then we sell Pedin to Roma so you guys can have a proper Italian keeper.
No, I don't want him.
Why?
I don't want him anymore.
Why?
I don't want him anymore.
Why?
Because
you wouldn't take a Pedin, right? I thought what happened? You take any Italian.
I would take any Italian, but it's because I want Lecce's goalie now.
You have a Portuguese goalie, and where's the other guy from?
He doesn't know yet.
Croatia?
No, he actually doesn't know yet.
Okay.
I'm not even trying to... He's Serbian or Belgian.
Okay.
He's choosing Zun.
A Serbian or Belgian guy. So which one? You're Italian or one of these guys?
I don't know. I kind of like the confusion Milos Villar has.
We'll keep Pedin as our fourth, then. We don't want him to give... We'll give him to Lazio.
They'll
enjoy him.
You know what's crazy? I love how, like, Pinzolio is a lock.
Yeah,
even though he's been your third string goalie.
He's always going to be our third string goalie.
I respect
we resigned
that.
Him.
That's why I'm saying sell Chesney, keep Pedin as backup. Then you have three Italian goalies.
Sell Pedin. You have no Italian goalies, so you shouldn't talk.
Yeah, we do.
Who?
Pietro Boer.
Who?
Exactly. He's our third string, dude.
Yeah, he's
there for vibes.
I mean, Pinzolio, man. What the hell?
Okay. Alexandro.
Sell. Yeah.
Agreed.
So,
Danilo,
I'd keep him.
So,
you need the experience, man.
We barely have
the experience. Yeah. You want to sell the one guy we have that experience?
Because when I'm looking at your defense, man, you guys look like you need help.
Yeah,
Danilo. No, you know what, Danilo?
God, man, you have to.
Yeah, okay, I'd keep Rugani.
I'd keep him. Dude, he's accepting less money and he's okay with being a fourth string center back. I'm perfectly fine with that.
That's the kind of player I want on my team. The guy that wants to just sit on the bench.
No, he wants to be there when he needs to be. He's okay with taking that role. You don't find a lot of good players that can take that role.
No, you're right.
Every game he's played so far, zero goals against. I don't know if it's Rugani or the team.
Except last week.
Who?
Lazio?
He wasn't playing.
No?
He got subbed out. He got subbed out for Danilo. Not Danilo. Yeah, Danilo.
Oh, no, the Sokolov.
Oh, yeah, you stupid man.
They went up for the attackers. Anyways, okay.
Whoever that guy is.
Bremer.
Like, I want to keep him, but I feel like he will be sold because of the money that United is going to throw at him. Like, I would love to keep him. He did his one job. He shut you up, and he's been one of our best defenders this year.
So you would keep him?
So I'd keep him.
Okay.
But I'm saying, like, they're probably going to sell him, which makes me sad.
System center back.
Yeah,
Saliba. Okay. System kidding, center back.
Okay. Go, Joe. Who's next?
Keep Bremer. Thiago Giallo, who you just bought for $1.50.
I have not seen him play yet. So, I mean, good potential. Maybe I'd keep him.
Yeah. Fuck all. I feel like you can't sell him because really we don't even know what the hell's happening.
This guy can be a monster or it can be absolute doo-doo.
The worst thing ever.
We don't know.
Gatti.
I'll keep him, dude. Class, dude. Keep him. Guys got to stay. Hopefully he learns from his mistakes this season because he's had a couple. Can't be making those mistakes next season and the season after. Well, there might not be a season after because he's making those mistakes next season. So as long as he matures, I'm happy with going forward with him till the end.
I love Gatti.
Yeah.
As just a guy,
yeah,
you know, like I don't have.
He was like a garbage man like 3 years ago, and now he's always playing
for
you.
That's why I respect him, and I won't bash him. But what makes me want to bash him is that people compare him to Mancini, and
there's not really. What? How can you compare a guy that's just like just started playing on a team?
No. Shit? I know. Oh.
You can't like that's you're not really you don't want to be at that level. You want to be higher than that.
Yeah, you're right.
Be better if he's getting comparisons to like Materazzi or like Nesta or you know.
Mancini's way better than Gatti. But anyways, for Gatti, I would keep him.
He's Roma's best defender. We'll leave it at that.
Honestly, yeah.
Well, that's it.
Dean's pretty crazy though.
Yeah, but he's not Roma defender.
No, I know. I'm saying for you guys, like he's pretty crazy actually. So obviously, you don't have to sell Bremer.
What?
You won't even have to sell Bremer. Dude, Dean's already fucking worth 60 mil.
Yeah, but Roma's going to buy him?
No.
Okay.
No, that's where you were leading to.
I'm sorry.
We don't have the money for that guy. We already tried to offer you something,
he
right?
He can be one of those guys. There's going to be the youth this summer that's going to be sacrificed. I know that, and I think he might be one of them.
Your favorite guy?
Who? You're going to say Joel.
Paul Pogba.
I would love for him to stay, but every time the guy does something, he's either hurt or he's doing drugs, so... Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to see him play again for Juve.
So thin ice.
So yeah, you can say thin ice. You can say thin ice.
Kostic.
Sell him. Fucking, I hate him.
He's such a crossing merchant. Where's Vlahovic?
A guy stands in front of him. Fuck, I gotta beat somebody. Okay, where's Locatelli? Let me
swing it across the Vlahovic.
Oh, it's open. Okay, let me make a push. Okay, then I cross. Same plan. Same thing every game. My God.
DeShilio.
Sell him. Move on. I don't care what he did against Roma last year. I don't care when he randomly just peaks and just comes out, and you're like, holy shit, dude, who the hell is this guy? Sell him. Just get rid of him. Move on from the past. What is the Spider-Man quote again?
You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
He was never a hero, but he's becoming the villain.
Maybe at Milan he was a hero because he was compared to Maldini.
His first year when he played, like, this guy's Maldini. they had Luis Adriano and Carlos Bacca, man. They didn't really have much going on for them.
Let's not talk about Carlos Bacca.
Yeah, they didn't have much. Yeah. Should have stayed that.
Adrien Rabiot. Sell. Bum. I'm going to speak for you there. Sell.
I think as much as I do like him for the money he's asking and what he demands, I think it's time to move on. We can't really sell because he's gonna be walking for free.
Oh, sucker. Really?
We only signed a 1 year deal with him.
Well, that kind of sucks. Then
that was just like, hey, sign the 1 year,
so
then, whatever.
Then I'll say thin ice, so you could get money out of him. Yeah. So you renew him and then sell him. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, thin ice.
Thin ice. Locatelli.
I'd keep him. I love Locatelli.
I won't argue that.
There's been talk in the thing. You know, people are like, oh, you step up his game, whatever. Guy, he's playing in a completely wrong position from what he was playing before, and he's still playing good. Yeah. The guy could ping a ball anywhere you want. Yeah. Fuck off. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to England. He's not going anywhere. Yeah. Keep him. Yeah. Lock him.
Definitely not as good as Cristante, but he's definitely up there, yeah. Hans Nicolosi Caviglia.
He needs to build up like a market if they are going to sell him because, like, dude, this guy, I'm pretty sure made his debut.
He's not the worst. He's not the best.
He made his debut like the first year when Ronaldo was there. Yeah. Like, he was already with the first team. Like, he made his debut, and like, he's not clearly brave. Like, you saw how fast Fagioli came up and Miretti, how they came into the team. Like, this guy's not even, he's not breaking into nothing. So I'd say, you know, maybe thin ice.
Okay. Yeah. Thin ice. Big Wes.
West, man, you know, I got a jersey the first year he came to the team.
Ran cheating.
A little bit sad when he left. Happy when he came back, but then also kind of sad because, like, his season last year, I'm not going to lie, I was like, yo, we cannot continue with this guy on the team. Sell him. Try to get something for him. He's American. Hopefully he has some value. We ended up getting stuck with him, and It was a miracle in disguise,
yeah,
because he's been, I mean, with his assist and everything, I don't know where this guy got it from, but he's been amazing so far this season. I'd keep him. I'd keep him for at least another season. See how he does.
Thin ice for me.
Okay.
Just because he's an expendable piece.
Oh no, 100. That's what I'm saying. Maybe one more year, but I agree. Like if they sold him this year, I would understand. But I can get behind the thin ice. I would say keep. Yeah, but I get it.
Timothy Weah, Big Tim, Wes's guy. They eat ranch on pizza together.
I think with Big Tim, even though his dad's a big fan, I would say thin ice. I would definitely say thin ice.
This name hurts me.
I know.
Niccolo Fagioli.
Keep 100%, man. This is the way this guy moves. I might be a nostalgia merchant, if you want to call me that, but he moves the closest that I've seen to Marchisio when I was seeing Marchisio play when he was younger. He does, man. The way he attacks the ball. Shut up, man.
No, for sure. He's almost as good as
okay, but you're talking about
Aquilani.
Okay. Marchisio, he started getting big, making a name when he was older and in 28. I'm saying when he was young with Juve in Serie B, when you never watched the Juve game, and I watched every fucking game because I had to.
I did, actually.
Because that was my fucking team.
I had to watch them.
Yeah, well, I remember watching Marquise, and I was like, man, this kid looks surprising. Hey, you know, hopefully, you know, they bring him up, and, you know, hey, because, hey, we're going to have a youth product. And look what he became. And I get the with Miretti, I've said it. I'm okay if they have to end up selling him to make some money, I'm okay with it. I love Miretti. I'm good. Cambiasso and Fagioli are like the two youngsters that I would not want to get rid of.
So I'm not even going to ask you about Cambiasso.
Yeah, he's locked. He's locked.
No, I do agree with Fagioli staying though.
Yeah.
But I just think I hate comparisons. So that's why I'm saying.
No. Joe, me too. I hate saying, oh, dude, he's going to be the next Del Piero. He's going to be the next. Yeah. No one's. You can't. Okay, let them go through their career, see how they turn out. And then, yeah, you can be like, holy man, what a career they had. This guy here, whatever it is, Fagioli, whatever it is, they're amazing. But I'm just saying the way he moves and the way he plays like that attacking style midfielder. Mm. He just reminds me of him. I know he can be better than Marchisio. He can be not even close to Marchisio. But his skill, man, it's next to none.
Samuel Illing Jr. I didn't even also know his first name was Samuel.
Samuel.
It's kind of weird. But anyways, Illing Jr.
So I'm a little bit up in the air with this. I would probably go with thin ice. But just because I know Allegri's been doing it, during the international break, both with the under 21 or under 23 with England, he was playing as a left back and he played well. He even scored a goal too. Okay. So if they kind of convert him and he ends up kind of going into that left back role, I would not mind keeping him at all, because if he's a strong player, he always has to work on his game. He has to, you know, there's a couple of flaws that he still has to fix, but if he can kind of get that down packed, with what we've seen that he can do, dude, you have him on one side, Cambiasso on another. I'm more confident than having Kostic and Cambiasso or Cambiasso and Weah.
Yeah.
Having him on there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would say keep about thin ice. I'll stick with thin ice.
I was going to say, for stick him, I'd ice. Say thin ice, because there is a value to sell him at. Yeah. So I would keep that into consideration. But it's like, if he plays left back, that's a fantastic thing.
That's what I mean, man. And he's versatile.
Yeah. I do love versatility. So,
me too.
Love it. I'm not going to ask about Milik because he sucks.
Yeah, sell him.
Vlahovic?
I'd keep him.
Sell him?
No, I'd keep him.
Moise Keane?
When a guy is saying he wants to resign and like is saying, I'm happy here, he loves the club, you keep those kind of players.
The ones you sell. Especially when they do so well all the time, right?
He is.
Yeah. No, he's
doing better than any striker on Roma, so I don't know what you're comparing.
Because we're a team, literally
second highest goal scorer in the league, but he's having a bad season.
Vlahovic is a bum. Shut up. He's a loser.
Just hate him.
He's a loser.
A hater.
I am a hater.
You're a hater. I know, because you're a Roma fan.
I don't like him.
You're racist.
I think he's overrated.
You're racist. I know. It's okay.
you can't be saying that. You'll get canceled. Moise Keane?
I'd sell him.
Course, because you're racist. The black guy you're to sell?
No, he's not good. We need to sell him to Roma.
I'd take him in a heartbeat.
I know.
And he'd do better than Vlahovic.
That's where he has to play on a mid-table team.
Yeah, that's for sure. Mid-table.
He has to be playing on that kind of competition. Yeah, have these high expectations of a high level team.
You had literally no competitions this year, and your coach still said, yeah, top four. That's all we need.
Our coach is stupid.
So, what did I knock? I thought I knocked out the show.
No.
No, but yeah, talk about expectations. Anyways.
Our coach is stupid. You can't compare.
Chiesa, keep.
Obviously.
Yeah, there's never no doubt there. I'm not going to ask.
Never sell him.
Kenan Yildiz.
Keep him.
Sell him.
Nah.
His only claim to fame is that he dated Madison Beer.
Don't
Other than that, he's a friggin' loser.
3 years' time, that's our number 10. Watch. That's it. You heard it here first. That's our number 10.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Who's in beer number
10? I actually just got scouted to go play for Chievo Verona. I'm leaving. I'm their number 10.
You wouldn't even get scouted to walk the Woodburn Strikers fucking house league team.
That's my whole point. And you think Yildiz is going to be number 10?
Yes. Okay. Very easily. Who else can be the number 10?
I don't know. You just said that you have Fagioli that's going to be the next Marchisio, so that's not going to contend for number 10.
Why would they give number 10 a midfielder? Chiesa, he wants to be number 7. He doesn't want to be 10.
Okay. You know what?
Okay. He was offered that 10 before Pogba came back, and he said no. He took 7.
Maybe just keep the number 10 vacant.
No. No Italian, nothing that's worthy of taking that number. Yildiz.
Yeah, for sure.
Like king.
Probably not. Kenan Yildiz.
Turkish king.
Probably not. On that note.
He's better than Asmund.
Definitely not. There's a reason why, you know that Daft Punk song? It's not harder, better, faster, stronger. It's sarder, better, faster, stronger. Crazy Iranian king, baby. Poor thing, he hurt his back, but he's like, no, don't worry, I'll be there for Lazio, I'll play. I'm there. Fucking goat. My fucking goat, baby. He should probably be number 10 for Roma. No, I'm kidding. No one deserves number 10 on Roma.
Yeah, see, that's why Roma fans are just so stupid.
There's the difference between Juve and Roma. There's levels to this. We don't give out the number 10 easily because it's like, because you actually have to be good, valuable, and pledge allegiance, you know? Kenan Yildiz,
so you're going to be like, nah, but no one's going to be ever as good as Maradona, so no one gets number 10.
Well, number 10 was offered to somebody.
Yeah, and he said no, because I know broke bitch.
No, well, it was offered to two players. Both said no, but one of them said, because I want to cement my name as this number, the legacy, and that number I'll never be able to reach.
Who was that?
That was Pellegrini. He is right, though. I don't think he'll ever be as Totti, as good as Totti. So why not have number 7?
Why not still? But what do you mean? Like that's the stupidest thing ever. I get it, you can't just give it to anybody, but at that point, you're just, man, people dream. People, you're playing soccer as a kid, you dream to be a number 10. So we go, I'm never be as good as Totti, so I can't get 10? Stupidest thing ever. That's a topic for another episode when we're going to apart.
We should actually talk about numbers one.
When we're going to pick apart Roma's team.
No, we don't.
See how fun that is. Oh, yeah, no, we're doing it. We're doing that's coming up. You did this to me? You did this to me. Why you make me do come?
You can't say that again, man.
Why not?
Because it's 2024.
You can say whatever. I can say whatever I want, Joe.
Actually, it's freedom of speech.
Yeah. The hell?
Fifth Amendment.
So, I think it's, yeah.
But yeah, that's the end of this episode. A lot of weird things have been said.
There's a solar eclipse coming, so it's a lot of weird vibes, weird energy around.
Soon the world's going to end.
So hey, this might be our... Actually, no. Dude, I think our April 8th is a Monday.
Yeah, so we'll be dead.
Yeah, so I think this might be our last episode.
We'll record one more just in case.
No, but if it ends before we record or before we put it out?
That's what I'm saying. We'll record probably. Dude,
the name of that episode is going to be The Lost Episode.
Fuck. You know,
no one's ever going to hear it.
Yeah, so hey, guys. Maybe we'll see you guys,
tune in next week. We're going to have Totti and Del Piero on the show. If you guys don't end up hearing it, that's just blame the earth.
Yeah, it's not blame our fault. The Mayan calendar expiring.
Or sorry, guys. Happened. So on that note, keep an eye on that for next week. Thank you guys for listening. If you haven't already, don't forget to follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Leave a like on our newest video. Comment on it. Just show us some love, babies. And we'll see you next week. We'll hear you next week. Joe, get ready for your Roma-filled episode next week. It's coming your way when we have Totti on the show. Maybe Di Rossi too.
And Cassano's coming.
Keep an eye out for that, guys. Ciao.
See you later.